Thanks very much, Mr. Chair, and thanks for the invitation for by the organizers of this conference. I'm sorry that I could join at a rather late stage, and I know I missed a lot of the interesting discussions we had. Now I try to contribute, and of course also we'll be interested in the debate after the presentations. As you heard, I am dealing with international economic relations, and I am in charge at the European Commission of relations between the EU and non-EU European countries and Central Asia, and also oversee a number of other areas of our the EU's trade policy. Therefore, I am in regular touch with the various governments in the and representatives of governments, be it Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, and other countries east of the EU, also dealing with some aspects of our relations with China. I would like to start from your original question, Mr. Chair, when summarizing the debate this morning, you asked that whether democracy is needed for development, and is it a precondition, or are there any other ways to or other models for development? It won't come as a surprise that the EU believes that democracy and in our parliamentary democracy and the linked freedom that goes with it are essential but not sufficient conditions for development. Having learned Marxism, while many of the teachings of Marx might not be valid in that form anymore, but one thing is certainly true, that the basis is the economy. If people go hungry, if people cannot feed their families, then democracy will not work. You need a minimum level of economic well-being on the basis of which the political institutions can develop democracy, and linked to that, the rule of law. These are related, but not exactly the same concepts. In the EU, we believe in a market economy, but with a certain level of government regulation. So we do not believe in fully free, unregulated markets, but we believe what is called social market economy. It's also quite clear that these days this model is challenged. It's challenged due to the economic costs of the maintaining the social aspects of the market economy. This is probably the single most important reason of the present euro crisis. And we have to see that what is the proper balance between the economic and social aspects of the our economic setup. Now, starting from this fact that state of economy and is a fundamental defining factor, we come to the second point, that economic interests in a competitive situation are by definition different. They are different among individuals, different among companies, and different among governments. We know from the history that very often wars were provoked by differing economic interests. And when the European Union was established, what is now called European Union, it was behind the economic goals, there was a fundamental political goal to avoid the repetition of the previous two world wars in Europe. Based on this belief, the EU strongly believes that when it comes also to different economic interests, these have to be resolved, first of all, by definition, by peaceful means, but I would add what is perhaps more practical, based on what we call multilateralism. We do not believe that unilateralism, that is the decisions of some great powers or some individual countries, could lead us to an economic development or even to economic cooperation. Multilateralism means that there are the rules of the market, the rules of the game are formulated jointly. Their respect is monitored jointly, and if there are differences, specific disputes, then those have to be resolved by legal means, by rule of the law, by neutral bodies. When it comes to specifically economic relations, we think that for the economic relationship, the fundamental, most important multilateral institution is the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization sets the rules of trade, to a certain extent also investment. The World Trade Organization is based on the recognition of market economy. Non-market economies, by definition, cannot be faithful members of the World Trade Organization, where the government interference is overwhelming, because government interference, by definition, limits the market effects. We are glad to see that this multilateralism slowly but gradually gains ground. Each member of the European Union has been a member of the World Trade Organization before joining the European Union. Out of the important countries represented here, China joined the World Trade Organization in 2001, and Russia is expected to join this year. We think that if the members of this organization faithfully respect its rules and faithfully limit the extent of government interference, a lot of conflict can be prevented. Many of the economic conflicts come from the intention of governments to protect and help their own producers, their own companies. This is to a certain extent natural. After all, this is among one of the roles of the governments, to look after the interests of the citizens and also the companies. But the question is that whether are governments ready to limit their role? Are governments ready to limit that how the domestic producers can be supported by government means? And are they ready to allow the market forces when it comes to competitions among domestic producers and imported products? The experiences are mixed. One has to tell you that there are permanent conflicts, and some of the parts of this conflict can be resolved. The resolution of some conflicts takes longer time. One thing is, however, sure, that even if it takes more time to resolve economic conflicts, it's very important that it is based on the rule of the law. So the rule of the law is not important just for the political institution, but it's important also in the international economic relations. Finally, I would like to say a few words more closely about the EU's relations with Russia. As I mentioned, Russia is an important economic partner for the EU. We very much welcome the Russian government's decision that after 18 years of negotiations, which was a kind of a record, Russia this year joins the World Trade Organization, and we believe and hope that a number of the economic conflicts which have been there between EU and Russia can be resolved by Russia's membership and respect of this international rules. Russia has also started its own economic integration process by the establishment of the customs union, and now which will gradually be developed into an Eurasian economic union. We, as EU itself, is an economic integration, among others, a customs union. We welcome the fact, and I emphasize it, that we don't look at all negatively on the fact that Russia establishes a customs union. And if the, supposing, however, that this customs union will be also based on the full respect of international rules for the economic relations. The big question, what the future will define, that when we have two economic unions in the European continent, the European Union and the Customs Union or Eurasian Economic Union, we be led to very much extent influenced by Russia, that what will be the major character of our relationship, cooperation or competition. I think that both will play some role in our relationship, but the question that which will be the defining role. From the EU side, we very much think that it should be cooperation, and therefore we welcome the stated objective of President, or earlier still as Prime Minister Putin, of creating a free economic zone from the Atlantic to Vladivostok. From the EU side, we very much would like to see it happening, but there are certain conditions for that, and basically these conditions, whether will this cooperation be based on the concepts that I have spoken about, democracy, market economy, and rule of law. Thanks.